Hey everybody, welcome to TardyCast. I am Justin. I'm the junior high pastor here at the church, and I'm here with a very special guest, DK, our worship pastor here at Mariners. Is that your right title?
Yeah.
Worship pastor?
Absolutely, yeah.
Isn't that, that's a cool title.
It is a cool title.
I've when I was in college, and it's not that I'm all about titles, but I couldn't wait for the day I was like the junior high pastor. I loved doing junior high ministry, so it was like a big deal when I became like a pastor.
Yeah,
doing that thing was a big deal. So for people who don't know you and our church, which I would be shocked if anyone didn't, but most of the people who listen to this go to our church, so like they know who you are. They've seen you do worship. Tell us a little bit about you. Just give us like the elevator speech of DK.
Oh man. Well, I was born in Los Angeles. My parents are from South Korea, immigrated here in the late 70s. And pretty much grew up in Southern California my entire life. Went to Upland High School, if you guys know where that is. And then ended up in Orange County because I went to UC Irvine, Anteaters, Zot, and majored in sociology there because I didn't know what else to major in. But I knew that I wanted to be in ministry, and a lot of my ministry friends happened to have majored in sociology. So that's what I did. And then upon graduating, just entered into ministry at another church in this area. I was there for 14 years.
14 years.
Yeah, and in that time, got married, lived overseas for a total of 3 years, two of them in Thailand, came back, gave birth to our first son in Newport, and then a couple years after that, moved out to Mexico City, lived there for over a year, gave birth to our daughter there, so I have a Mexican daughter, and then came back, and in 2014 is when I joined our church here, and it's been an awesome ride. It's been super fun.
And how old are your kids?
My kids are, so Micah, he is 9, he just turned 9, he's in 3rd grade, and my daughter, Isla, she's in 1st grade, she is 6, so 9 and 6.
The moving around, do you think that's made an impact on them? Do they like moving around, or do they even know it? Or
yeah, I mean, Isla doesn't know anything because she was super young. So after we gave birth to her in Mexico, I think when she was 3 months or so, we moved back to Irvine. So she knows this is her world. She knows nothing else. And Micah, I think he was around 2 years old when we were in Mexico. And I mean, he did great out there, but I'm sure all of his memories are here. So Irvine and Orange County is pretty much all that my kids know, except for the little family trips we've taken, and you know, but it's pretty much all the states.
Yeah. So there's so many things we could talk about. I think probably a lot of people say, oh, DK's on, so we're probably talking about worship stuff, and we're actually not talking about worship stuff, because I think you have great insights into parenting that I'm really excited to talk about and get some of your, you know, just thoughts on just kind of how you do it, and how you and your wife do it, and parenting, and you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But since I do have you here,
yep.
I think it'd be really, I've always wanted to ask, and I didn't prep you for this, which is even better.
Okay.
But, you know, I've been here for 5 years, and so for a lot of people who listen, like, they, you know, their kids grew up here, so they've been here a lot longer than 5 years.
Yeah.
But they've, you know, my wife, who's been here for 5 years, has definitely felt a shift in the health of the worship culture.
Hmm.
And that's not knocking previous worship culture in any way, shape, or form, but to see the growth of it over time. Could you just speak a little bit to you as the worship pastor? So this is like just the freebie for parents who just love our church. Where have you seen our worship culture go to? How have you helped shape it? Like, has it all been accidental? Has it been part of a bigger plan that you've been executing over the course of the last couple of years?
Yeah.
What would you say about it?
Dude, I mean, this, we could spend an hour talking about this stuff, but obviously I'm going to try my best to be brief. But yeah, like, I literally pinch myself, you know, when I think about how far we've come and where I'm at, and where the fact that I get to be a part of this and what's happening at Mariners is just something that's mind-blowing to me, you know? And I gotta say, God's hand is on our church and is on this ministry. And, you know, when I first came into my role here, for people who have been here a while, they would know that it happened through a very unfortunate circumstance where the previous worship pastor confessed to an affair, and mm-hmm. and I can share that on this podcast because we shared it publicly from the stage.
Yep.
Yeah, that weekend at church. So it was out in the open, and I love how we handled it as a church. You know, we did our best to honor people who were involved, but also to honor the church.
And for anyone who's listening who doesn't know about any of that,
yeah.
maybe they weren't here for that.
Yeah,
it was a traumatic thing that happened.
Yes, absolutely.
Since then.
Yep.
Both the couples on both sides have mm-hmm. gone through our restoration process as a church.
Right.
They've, you know, it was a year long. I think for some of them it was over a year long.
Yep.
And they've both been, I mean, they both found health in their marriages. They've both been restored to ministry
yep.
and they're, you know, serving in different places now.
Yep.
And good things, in totally. The end, God was sought and
absolutely.
Good things, health happened.
Yep.
But at the time it was a very traumatic
yep.
and very stressful thing for the church overall.
Absolutely.
A lot of confusion.
Yep. So I inherited that. I came into the role with that, you know? At the same time, the other thing that the more important thing that I inherited was a history and legacy of people who came before all of us who are currently on the staff, who have built this thing out over time. You know, Mariners is 50 years old. It's gone through many different revolutions and renditions of worship culture and worship wars. Fortunately for me, I feel like I inherited a season that allowed us to experience more harvest. And it's because of all the people that came before us. You know, so I'm thinking about even Kyle Zimmerman, who many of you know used to be the worship pastor here. I'm thinking about people like Stan Endicott, Tim Timmons, and there are many other names that I could name, but there are many that I've never met before. But for some reason, God chose us who are currently on this worship staff to be a part of this season to help usher in a great season of harvest, for lack of a better word. Many seeds were planted, and now what we're experiencing is a season of harvest. And so for me, I feel like how I view this role or job was I get to steward what was already planted, and I get to fan the flame of already something, a fire that had already been started. But it definitely came with a pretty major dip with that whole, the big blow up
yeah.
at our church, you know? But what I've done since that time is I've tried my best to build up the best team possible, to bring in the best, not just the best talent, but the best hearts, the best spirits, and people that I connect with on a spirit level. And people like Colby and Darius and May, these are my friends, you know? These are people that I love, hanging out with, that I respect as worship leaders and artists. And I tell people all the time that I am the least talented person on this team, and I love it. For me, I don't feel threatened by the talent. In fact, I tell these guys all the time, my job is to create a runway for people like you to fly. My desire is for them to feel like they can... That the sky's the limit, you know? And I've told these guys, I don't ever want to put a lid on you guys, you know? And so with that approach, I feel like when we bring in people like Darius and Colby and May, they are able to lead, hopefully, to their fullest capacity without somebody like me saying, oh, no, this is your limit. This is the cap.
Yeah.
You know, my hope is that they all reach their fullest capacity and potential and all that good stuff.
That's great.
And for me, I get to be part of an all-star team.
And for a lot of people who don't know, you get together with the children's worship person, the junior high worship person, Brittany, Chase, who's our high school worship person. You get together with them sometime, you know, now and then,
yeah,
just to pour into them.
Once a month,
to just mm-hmm. pour into them and encourage them, which I just think is absolutely incredible. So really good stuff happening in worship. And there's a new deal coming out, right? Isn't there a deal coming out?
Oh, you mean like our album?
Music thing.
Yeah, so we recorded a...
Have you talked about this on stage yet?
Not yet. Yeah,
really?
But, yeah.
So this is like...
Oh, yeah. This is like...
This is a big deal.
This is like breaking news, I
guess.
This
is breaking news.
Yeah, you know. So on Ash Wednesday of this next year, which falls on February 14th, I believe.
Valentine's Day. It is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
What a day.
Yeah. So we're going to release our... Good Friday album. It's a full-length project, about 10 songs, and it's taking all the songs that we've done over the last couple of Good Friday services. And if you've been to these services, you know that they are some of the most powerful, beautiful, artistic, but also heavy services that you could attend. Mm-hmm. And our music director, Russell Crane, who was an absolute stud, a magician, mm-hmm. a wizard of sorts with music, he created some of the most incredible arrangements, and we said, we need to put this on record.
And most people probably know who Russell is. He's on stage regularly on the weekend,
yep.
and you probably see his hips swaying back and forth.
Yep, he's a big, tall guy, the blonde-haired guy with the electric guitar just rocking out behind me.
Yep.
And he's there every week. He's awesome. And he created these arrangements. So we actually brought in a 12-piece orchestra, recorded this live in our studio here at church. I don't know if you guys knew that we have a studio space. It's behind the bleachers in the tech hallway of the worship center. And then we also brought in electronic and synth instruments. And so the whole sound of the album is all strings and all electronic stuff.
This would be great.
And that's it's awesome. Yeah. And you guys are going to love it. We're excited about it. And me, Colby, May, we all sing on it and lead some of the songs on it. And it's a really cool project. So, yeah, we're just so excited about what God's been doing, you know, and we definitely sense, you know, the Holy Spirit moving in our services. And it's just one of those seasons, like, where everything's clicking, you know. And I know there will be seasons of challenge and hardship, of course. That's part of life and ministry. But right now, currently, as many of you sense, even in our weekend services, it's a season where God's just breathing on stuff. He's blessing stuff.
Yeah.
And we simply get to like ride the waves of what he's doing. So, yeah, we couldn't be more stoked, man.
I'm excited, too. It's going to be a good season coming ahead. I like it. I can't wait. So let's get into some parenting questions. Okay?
Yeah.
These are some questions. I did not prep you for any of these questions. So, like, and that's the best. Very rarely do I prep people because I want to get, like, you know.
Love it.
We just get right into it. So here's the first question. Your kids, they're involved in kids ministry here, right?
Yep.
Okay. So in your mind, if you, and maybe you never thought about this, maybe you have. In your mind, what's the percentage of responsibility for giving or equipping spiritual depth and health in your kids? If you were to give percentages of responsibility to different people, kids ministry, you and your wife, you know, other influences in their life, mm-hmm. How would you break up those percentages in your mind?
So can you state that question in a different way? I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah. Who would you say holds the primary responsibility of creating that spiritual health or depth in your kid?
Absolutely.
And they're involved in kids ministry, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's other, you know, people who are involved in their life who are, you know, influences in their life. Obviously, you and your wife are, you know, there. How would you split those up in your mind of who kind of holds responsibility?
Yeah, well, Justin Herman is responsible for the spiritual health of all of our children.
Let's make that into a ringtone. We're going to sell that ringtone, help get kids to camp with it. That's a really good bit right there.
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure, it starts at the home. It starts with the parents, you know, and I think we bring our kids to church on the weekend, and of course, there's so much that they could learn at church, and they should learn, and all that stuff. But man, if we're not modeling this lifestyle at home, and if we're not teaching our kids about who Jesus is at home, and we're not modeling relationship with Jesus at home, then honestly, the kids are missing a major foundation, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously that's hard because the kids get to see us not only at our best, but at our worst, you know, most days, you know? And so for me, I know that's true of my kids, where they get to see the worst of Dad, you know? Where Mariners Church gets to see the best of Dad on stage and whatnot, my kids get to see the worst of Dad, you know? And yet at the same time, I try to be as human and as real as I can with them, and I own up to things. And there have been many times when I've had to say sorry to my kids for you know, blowing up at them and letting Dad's anger get to another level. But at the end of the day, at the end of every evening before we put the kids to bed, there's that time of just talking to them. There's a prayer involved. There's a looking at them into their eyes and just speaking about, man, like, I love you. This is what I see in you. This is how God created you. This is my hope for you. And there's the questions of, like, who loves you, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then they'll say, Jesus, and then I'll be like, who else loves you? Mom and Dad. And so they, as long as they know those things, it's like, okay, like, that foundation is there.
Yeah.
And I think what I hope to do at home is just to be as honest as I can with the kids and not to put up a front at home. And obviously that's hard to do because, yeah, they get to see me and my wife at our most raw points. But there's a beauty, I think, to just owning up to that stuff too, as hard as it is.
Do you find it easier or harder because you're a pastor? And I say that because, you know, I get home after doing, you know, if I'm teaching that weekend, I'm in the Bible all day, I get home and, you know, doing and then getting into rhythm with my wife of doing her own personal Bible study. It's like, I've been doing this all, I've been in the Bible the whole day, and maybe I don't feel as motivated to just get into it again with my wife. And sometimes my, you know, wife misses out because of that. Like, I do her a disservice. Do you ever, like, is it easy for you to switch into dad spiritual leader mode at home after being, you know, spiritual leader here at church?
Yeah.
Or is it really easy? Or is it I think different parents find themselves in different places if they're in the business sector and they're doing business all day, or they're just stay-at-home mom and they're figuring, you know, how to manage kids all day.
For
and, you know, how do they, you know, bridge the gap of, you know, their life majority of the day and then how to be that spiritual leader at home?
Yeah. No, that's so good. I think in some senses, because I try to be consistent in my approach to ministry and family, in some senses, it's not that big of a switch for me when I get home. And what I mean by that is I have a pretty casual approach to how I lead, you know, my team. And of course, there's intentional things and there's things that I put thought into and all that stuff. But I think I work really hard to be as human as I can. Meaning, I try to strip away the churchianity, the churchy words, the Bible jargon, all that stuff, and I try to be as real of a person as possible. So even though I am a pastor, I know that I don't have to speak a certain way to come across as a pastor. Like, I want my kids to know that Jesus is somebody that I am in a relationship with. Jesus is not somebody that I control or that I channel that I turn on at certain moments. So I think even at home, it's not like I gather the kids around and say, gather around, children, we're going to open up God's word and we're going to sing these songs. Like, if I were to try to do that, my kids would be like, what are you doing, Dad? They'd be like, let's play Xbox, you know? Like, and so, yeah, so at home, it's you know, meals around prayer, and usually it's like, who wants to pray? And then nobody will volunteer. Or sometimes my son or my daughter will say, okay, I will do it. And then they go, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. And we'll be like, great, great prayer. Let's eat, you know? Very casual, but they know that Jesus is in every aspect of our life. So in that sense, yeah, it's not hard, I think, because that's how I approach Jesus, whether I'm at work or at home. And I think we, as dads especially, sometimes put so much pressure on ourselves to be the spiritual leader. And the picture that we have of a spiritual leader is this, like, Bible-toting, spiritual language, you know, speaking, you know, type of guy, you know? Like, but I honestly don't think that's it. Like, I think being a spiritual leader is somebody who is as real and as integrated as they can be in their mind and spirit, and who is clear about who they are in Jesus. And Jesus is, yeah, just a part of who they are and not somebody that they channel or set aside time for, like, necessarily, like, oh, this is my 15 minutes of Jesus now, so boom, let's open up the Bible.
So you see a correlation between your spiritual health, maybe you and your wife's spiritual health, and the health of your parenting.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure. And of course, like, and I don't want to make it sound like the spiritual discipline. I don't want to minimize spiritual disciplines. I don't want to minimize intentionality, because obviously we need to do that, and that's so important. But I think for sure, like, the parenting aspect is the spiritual aspect that plays into parenting is huge, and how we are reminded of that need constantly is through our daily failures as parents, and this recognition that without God's intervention in our hearts and in our conversations, parenting literally, for me at least, feels impossible. I don't know how people do it without God's help.
Yeah, I don't know.
Without His wisdom, without His peace, without me being able to end the day with my wife praying with tears because we have, like, we've hit a wall. You know, like, there have been many instances like that where we have hit a wall. And we have an honest heart to heart, and then the way we end the day is like we have no other option but to just pray.
Yeah.
You know, it's out of desperation. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What kind of goals do you guys set goals as a family? Do you guys have goals that maybe you and your wife are looking at for your kids of where you want to see them grow in their relationship with Jesus, or just family goals in general of what you're trying to do as, you know, the DK family,
yeah,
the Kim family,
yeah. No, that's good. I would say we don't have any, like, stated, like, spiritual goals. My unstated spiritual goal is that they would grow to love Jesus on their own terms, that I would not thump Jesus or church on them. And yeah, because Dad works at church, it's a challenge because church is a place where you know Daddy's time is taken up at. So for all PKs, I think that's the challenge, right? A lot of PKs end up growing up and they go through a stage where they actually hate church. And so for me, like, I want to do my best to give my kids, as young as they are, still give them the ability and the space to still appreciate church. And, you know, and I want to help distinguish between work and church. And that's hard because I'm constantly in church. You know? But as far as like goals, something that we started recently actually was we started having family meetings like once a week.
Talk about those.
Yeah,
those
like? Yeah. Because Sadie and I took my wife and I. Sadie is my wife's name. We started taking this parenting class. It was a 6-week course through the city of Irvine, and it was pretty helpful because one of the things that came from it was this family meeting. They said, start doing a weekly family meeting. Set the day and time and hold to it for at least 6 weeks straight. And see if it becomes a habit. But basically, so for us, it's Monday nights at 7 p.m. after dinner. We sit around the table. We designate like an item that's like the talking stick, basically. And only the person holding that talking stick gets to talk. So usually mom or dad starts off the meeting and says, okay, guys, thank you for coming to the family meeting. Today, I want to start off the meeting by saying some affirmations. And so we'll go around the table and we'll say, hey, Micah, this week I saw you do this. You picked up your trash, yada, yada. Yeah. Good job. And Isla, I saw you trying really hard to be nice to your brother. Good, you know, stuff like that. And mom, you were this and that. Your food was delicious, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll also have a small agenda thing. So at our first family meeting, our big agenda item actually was to set family rules for the first time. So we, after talking through it, we let the kids speak into it. We determined 3 family rules, and it's this. It's to be kind, be calm, put things where they belong. So it kind of rhymes, and those are our 3 rules, family rules.
Be kind.
Be calm.
Be calm.
Put things back where they belong.
Put things back where they belong. That's a good 3. I put right that on the board in my office. That'd be a good rule for me. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. And so now that we've established that, it's actually posted on their bedroom door. And then we also talked through, at the family meeting, we also established set chores for them. And then we also talked about how allowance is going to start working. And we said, if you guys fulfill these chores at the end of the week, then you get allowance. And every family meeting now is kind of touching base to see how those things are going and telling the kids, hey, I think you missed a day of, you know, part of your deal is to pick up after yourself, you know, in your bedroom, like to clean your bedroom. You missed a day here and you did a good job, but let's kind of pay attention to that. And so it's a way to kind of reinstate some of those things that we talk about at previous family meetings. And because we have our talking stick, we say, is there anything else that somebody wants to say? The kid will raise their hand. We pass the talking stick to them. And they'll say whatever's on their mind. Sometimes it's super random. Sometimes it's sort of profound. And we're like, wow, okay. And, you know, but it's a fun thing. And it's kind of cool to see the kids engage with this. Because normally, when we try to do something intentional, they're kind of all over the place. But for some reason, up until this point, this family meeting's been working out pretty good.
And you said this is... from a class that you did in the city of Irvine. What 6-week thing is this in the city of Irvine?
It was called the Positive Parenting Class. And it's based off a book called Positive Discipline, I believe. And I think my wife just saw it through an email or something like that. And it's held at one of the elementary schools in Irvine. And it happens a few times during the year. So they repeat this course. So anybody could take it. You just sign up. You pay a little fee for it, it's a commitment because we needed sitters for those 6 weeks, helpful. Yeah.
Are there people that you look back at? Maybe it's your own parents. Maybe it's just other influences that you look back at and say, "Man, I really learned some good stuff from how they parented that you've incorporated into your own style of parenting."
Yeah.
Or vice versa, things that you saw that you're like, "I never want to do that." Like, that's definitely not going to be something I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, then obviously it hasn't been.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say my first parenting heroes were my own parents. They gave me such a strong sense of ownership about my own life and my choices. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a ton of freedom, which is actually kind of rare for Asian parents. You know, many people might know that the Asian stereotype is that, you know, the whole concept of tiger moms and yeah. regulating on studies and making sure everybody gets straight A's. My yeah. parents...
And driving.
Yeah.
Okay. Stereotype. I don't all agree right. to that stereotype. You know what? I don't agree. I want you to know that I don't agree to it. But I'm saying that is a stereotype. We're going to label it.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of
I think you're an incredible driver.
I'm an incredible driver.
And incorrect. I think that's an unfair stereotype. And I want you to know that I do not aspire to that or align to that.
I don't want to get to that. my parents never pressured me to be a straight A student.
Yeah.
And by Asian student standards, I was actually pretty mediocre, you know? My SATs weren't phenomenal, and, you know, my GPA wasn't, like, crazy. But at the end of the day, what my parents would always tell me is, like, as long as you've tried your best, like, that's all we could ask for, and we're proud of you, you know? And then when they found out that I wanted to go the ministry route, which is also a different thing for Asian parents, normally they want their kids to be doctors or lawyers or... you know, some, you know, engineer. My parents never put that kind of pressure on me. They allowed me to choose my life path, but ultimately, because they were strong believers, they knew that my life was in God's hands. So they never freaked out about my choices, you know? And I was never, you know, a terrible kid, you know? I went through a small rebellious stage or whatever, but I think because I knew that my parents loved me, and they gave me a sense of ownership about my life and a sense of trust. I think I did my best to try to honor them in that. So all that to say, I think I learned a lot about parenting from my parents. And I want to do the same with my kids, where I am not hovering over them. I'm not pressuring them. I'm not looking at them to perform so that they can earn my love. Like, I want them to start really high, knowing that I already have my parents' love. I don't need to do this stuff to earn that from them, you know? Because I feel like if they start from that place, then they're already winning, you know? But if they feel like they're drowning and they don't have my love or support or approval, then they are working hard to get to that place. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. And I know many people can relate to that place, right? Like where... And so I learned a ton from my parents, and I'm super grateful for them. I'm indebted to them. And I would say that's the model I follow. I want my kids to have that sense of trust and ownership and freedom, and ultimately know that daddy loves them no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. All right, a couple last questions, and we're going to get this show on the road. What are your feelings on... children's ministry hand motions? Are you a fan of hand motions? Do you think that's something that's going to come into the worship center one day? When do your kids try and teach you these hand motions?
Yeah.
Are you pro hand motion? And I'm not trying to start another worship war, of course.
Oh man, yeah.
But what are your because my kids, my one kid's two. They do hand motions in the rooms he's in, and I feel like it's any day now until he comes home and wants to teach me one of these things, and I just don't know if I'm, you know, if I'm going to be down for that.
Yeah, my kids, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but they can sometimes tend to be too cool for school.
Oh yeah,
you know,
so, I still tend to be too cool for school sometimes.
Yeah,
so
but you know, at six years old and 9 years old, some of that is heartbreaking because, you know, I've walked in to VBS a few times to see my kids. And there were a couple times where I saw that my kids were the ones just kind of hanging back with their arms crossed and not doing the motions, you know? And I'm like, oh no, why? Yeah. But then of course there are other moments where I would peek in on a different day and they're engaged. So they kind of pick their spots. For me, obviously, at this age, at 36 years old, I am not a fan of hand motions.
It's good.
And I don't think you parents out there ever have to worry that I would instill that into our weekend services in the worship center.
It'd be a frightening day.
Yeah, right? But what I do love about it is it's teaching our kids from an early age that worship is more than just singing. It is a lifestyle, and it is an action. It incorporates mind, body, and soul. And in that sense, I'm a firm believer in hand motions, because from an early age, we're teaching our kids that concept, that when we worship Jesus, it's not just the movement of our lips, but it's the giving of our entire heart. And sometimes that's expressed in the way we move our hands and our feet, which is why in the worship center, we lead our people in physical postures of worship. Mm-hmm. And I think the most visible and ready one that most people see and that you engage in as parents a lot of times, I'm sure, is the lifting of our hands.
Yeah.
And that is a visual reminder of our inward desire, you know, of our heart cry as a church is we want to be a church that pours out our heart towards God in response to who He is, who He's been. And singing a song is simply not enough. It is a giving of our lives. And so the lifting of our hands, the moving of our feet, the occasional jumping up and down, you know, I know we have a small minority of people in our church that loves to do that. But I'm a fan of dancing in church.
Yeah.
So even though we don't do coordinated, choreographed hand motions, I do know that one day our church will become more of a dancing church.
Like the Macarena or?
Yeah, more like the YMCA.
YMCA,
yeah,
kind of.
Although that's going into the hand motion territory. So something more.
I think hand motion, that fits in hand motions for me personally. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Other people.
But yeah, I think the more free we can be in our expression of worship, I think that correlates, I think, with how we view God. You know, there is a connection with how we worship and how we engage with God, for sure. And sometimes, as Kenton says, like, you got to fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
You might say, oh, man, I'm just not that type of guy. You know, I'm low key.
Yeah.
I'm not the hand lifting type of person. Well, give it a try and see what God does to your heart, because literally it starts with that action. You know, sometimes God wants us to take the first step so that He can present His presence and His miracle. He invited Peter to get out of the boat. You know, Peter needed to take that step of faith.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of times how God works. He invites us to take the first step, and sometimes that first step in worship is that lifting of our hands.
Yeah. All right, here's the third to last question. We're going to be done. So this is going to be posted before Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is coming.
Yep.
Can't wait. Eight services?
Eight services.
Eight services, okay.
Yep.
So students go in with parents.
Awesome.
You know, junior high worship, high school worship, very different than adult worship. Okay, there's differences,
totally.
Clearly, okay, there's differences. If I'm a parent listening to this and I want to make sure that my kid's not just sitting on their phone during worship, I want to make sure that I'm not constantly saying, no, come on, stand up, pay attention. Like, I don't want to be referee parent
right.
while worship's going on.
Right.
What should I do to help start prepping them to get them ready to get the fullness of what God could have for them during worship, during our Christmas Eve services?
Oh, man, that's good. Well, I would say, for one, taking a page out of my parents' book and how I, you know, what I shared earlier about giving my kids freedom and trust and the ability to make their own choices, I would bring them into service, and I myself would choose to engage fully with the worship, and I would model for my children what it means to worship and engage with the service. And if my kids happen to, I don't know, prefer to sit down for parts of it, you know, I could encourage them, but I don't think I'm gonna police them on it. What I would hope is that the service itself and the presence of God in the room is compelling enough where the kids would feel mm-hmm. His presence mm-hmm. and feel a difference in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But in the event that that's just not happening for them, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I would see this as more of a seed planting opportunity, where at least they're in the service with you, sitting next to you, and this is a seed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be this big home run experience for the kid.
Would you say for a parent, if they are the I don't raise my hands kind of parent,
yep.
would you say, man, this may be the week to start pushing yourself mm-hmm. a couple clicks mm-hmm. in order that when we get to Christmas Eve and your kids are sick, because very rarely the kids are in the worship center, right? Okay? Because yeah. in the norm is that we go to the student center.
Yep.
So it's rare they're in the student center.
Yep.
Is this the next couple weeks to, I mean, really this weekend, the yep. weekend to click a couple clicks forward
yep.
in preparation for your students being there in hopes that you can really model for them,
yep.
you know, to, you know, this is a good test run of
yeah.
pushing a couple clicks.
That's a good, that's an interesting thought. I think my answer to that would be as authentic as you can be, because mm. your kids can smell the inauthenticity, and in fact, it might be really awkward for them, you know? Yeah. So I would say if that's just not who you are right now, it might be a little too late to try to click it up with the limited time you have,
yeah.
you know, unless you do have a major like Damascus encounter yeah. from the Lord, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I cannot, like, this is it. Like I am compelled, and who knows, that might happen. But I would say if model for your kids what authentic worship looks like for you.
Yeah.
Even though obviously you want to be more expressive and you want to show the kids, but you also don't want to, you know, show your kids falsehood or, yeah. you know, or pretending or anything like that.
And if you have like a Culver Road Village People experience, you know, doing the YMCA, you know, that also might be a thing. If
yeah.
that happens in the worship service.
Oh, yeah.
If there's a parent who does a YMCA during worship, their kid is never going to pay for camp again. That would be hilarious. as long as I get on video. All right, here's the last one. You probably started planning the songs you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Without giving us all of them, I don't know how top secret these things are. Are there one or two songs that you could throw out there that a parent could throw on the radio or on the radio? How old am I? On the
record player?
Yeah. on the 8-track.
Yeah.
They could throw the song on, you know, in the regular rhythms of just being at home and, you know,
yeah.
being in the car and be like, oh yeah, they're gonna play this song at mm-hmm. Christmas, like. Now you can hear it and you're going to feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Is there a couple songs you could throw out there that it's like, we know we're going to do these songs. Parents can play them to prep their kids.
Well, I think, I mean, we've talked a lot about the YMCA, so we're going to do a Christmas version of that.
Oh,
so I think,
gosh, I
yeah.
can't wait.
So be ready for that. Pump that up as loud
wait,
as you can.
Dude, I want to come out dressed as a Christmas construction worker
oh,
for sure.
Oh my gosh, that would be a sight to behold. But yeah, anyways, no, we're singing all of the beautiful Christmas congregational worship tunes, you know?
Like Jesus Wept?
Yeah.
Are we doing, not Jesus Wept. Why did I say Jesus Wept? Mary, Did You Know? I don't know why I connected
Jesus
those
wept.
Two.
Jesus Wept, yeah.
That's a verse in the Bible. It's the shortest verse. I don't know why I said
it
that.
It is, yeah.
I meant Mary, Did You Know? Uh-huh. But it makes me emotional. I think of Jesus and
yeah. Have you heard the Clay Aiken version of that song?
Of Mary, Did You Know?
Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
Mary, Did You Know is one of my favorite Christmas songs.
He does a great job with that song.
I like that song a
yeah.
lot.
Yeah. No, we're not going to do Mary,
Shoot.
Did You Know?
Okay.
But, I mean, O Holy Night. That song is so all-encompassing in many ways of the Christmas journey.
Yeah.
And it captures the beauty of Christmas in a musical way. So,
all right.
Yeah, I'd say O Holy Night is something you can
All right, here's the very
bumping.
Last question.
Yeah.
I'm a parent. I got my iPhone. I'm looking. So now I've updated my technology from the 8-track to the iPhone. And I'm looking for worship albums that I can have playing in the house, playing in the car to get it, you know, into a rhythm of just that happening at my home.
Yeah.
Who are some of the people you'd recommend that it's like, get on your phone, download this album, buy this album, get it on Spotify, whatever.
Yeah.
What are a couple albums that you'd say, man, you should check this out?
That's
parents.
Good. Yeah. I think somebody that I've always respected because of his ability to write songs that are honoring to the truth of Scripture, but also real congregational, you know, and musically engaging. So, like Matt Redman, somebody that I always look up to, and his latest album is great. But then also the more recent bands and groups that have been coming out. I know a lot of people love listening to Elevation Worship,
mm-hmm.
and their last album actually is one of my favorites. And I had not jumped on the Elevation train until this past album, and I'd say that's pretty good. Bethel is making major waves for sure, and they've been writing some amazing songs over the past few years. So,
mm-hmm.
so the things that Bethel writes, I would say, are great. And then Another group that we don't really sing a lot of their songs at church, but I love them so much, and I've met them. They're friends of mine, but United Pursuit is a band. Will Reagan is the lead songwriter of that group, United Pursuit. They just write some beautiful songs of, you know, intimate worship, and musically it's a little bit different from what you would hear. So I'd recommend them. And then, of course, there's always Hillsong. Hillsong,
yeah,
kills it on every level, and they've been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And their latest album, Wonder, the Hillsong United album, Wonder, called Wonder, is great.
Yeah.
It's actually a fun album to listen to. Like, musically, it's engaging. They have some great songs that are really deep in their lyrics.
That's awesome.
So it's cool.
Yeah. I dig that. You know, I've done a lot of things in church. You know, I've never been part of a worship. I've spoken to old people, young people. I've done kids ministry, which, you know, I'll never do that again. I've done high school, junior high, outreach stuff. I've led trips around the world. I've never been part of a band. It's because I'm not good at music.
Yeah.
I have a terrible voice, and I can't really hold a beat.
You want to do an audition right now in front of everybody? You want to sing a few bars?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Here we go.
I'm happy you asked. I prepared.
Great.
So I'm happy you asked.
Give it to us.
Mary, did you know,
all right,
that your baby boy would someday be the Savior? Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
Did you know,
sure. You're not as prepared as I thought you'd be. This was your big moment, and you kind of let it drop a little bit.
Blew it, too.
Yeah.
I blew it. Oh, my wife's going to kill me. This is my big chance. Always want to, you know, you never know how long you do youth ministry for, so you always want to have that backup plan.
Exactly, man.
So I thought worship could maybe be it. But
yeah, it might not be. So
it probably is, sadly not.
I'm a truth teller, so.
I appreciate that. Hey, so how many, what are the service times? It's Saturday.
Saturday, I believe 4 p.m. and 6 p.m.
4, 6 p.m.
And then Sunday.
Which is Christmas Eve.
Yep.
So
yep.
Legit Christmas Eve on Sunday.
Yep.
Like 2007 is really truly the year of the Lord to do Christmas.
That's right.
Christmas Eve on a Sunday. It's very beautiful.
Yep.
Is
9-11-2-4-6. And then the 11 p.m.
Which I'm there at the 11 p.m.
Yes.
I always serve at the 11 p.m. greeting people.
Yeah.
One, because I get to pull out my winter pea coat. I very rarely get to do that in California. Two, the kids are already asleep.
Yep.
And three, you know, I just, you know. I like.
We
I
get
like,
to light things on fire.
Yeah,
at that
I love. I didn't want to be the one to say it. I'm happy you did. I love fire.
Yes.
Like, I think burning stuff's
come
super
on,
cool.
Yeah.
That's why I love camp so much. You know, the forest fires right now are very sad.
Yeah. So let's.
So that's not cool.
Let's be careful of that.
That's
stuff.
Not
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
But other like cool like contained fires are
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Like on candles. Which
yeah,
is
on
what,
candles,
what
which
do.
Is very very cool.
Yeah.
All right, DK. Thank you so much for making the time. Parents
yeah,
are gonna love this. Thank you again. You're just such a cool guy.
Dude, you're awesome, man. Thank you. Thank
I
you
appreciate
for
it.
Me.
All right, parents, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the TardyCast. Remember, we do this so that you can stay in tune, up to date, that you are never late to leadership. I hope you enjoyed. Have a good one. Talk to you all later. Bye-bye.